Okay, well, let's get started. So, for most EVE pilots, the PvE part of the game has a number of different objectives. Clearly, obviously, earning ISK being the main one for most of us. Obviously, we need to learn the ships and fitting skills, and obviously, enjoying the game. Obviously, PvE being a relatively safe environment in which to learn about the equipment that we have in the game and how to use it. Okay, so for many pilots, the priority is to generate income. And with this in mind, speed and efficiency of mission running and PvE. Mission running being, for the most part, for those of us in high sec, by far the easiest way of generating ISK. Okay, so more focus on that than, say, mission running and ratting in this class, but we can talk about other things if you like. So efficient mission fits and better ship choices will improve your income, i.e. more ISK per hour per day. We'll be focusing on the Galente Tech 1 ships that are damage dealing ships and appropriate for kind of PvE of all kinds. And they fall into two basic categories, the gunboats and the drone boats, with the remaining ships having specialist functions. The remaining ships in the Galente fleet, logistics, support, trade, e-war, mining, that we won't talk about in any detail. There are people more expert than I that can talk about those. But we may mention some of those secondary roles in passing as we go through the various ships in the fleet. Both gunboats and drone boats can be successfully deployed in PvE, although drone skills are still essential for the efficient use of the gunboats, because as most Galente ships have drone capability, and they form an important part of your offensive capability in both gunboats and drone boats. The gunship's kind of traditional hierarchy, if we go from frigate through to battleship, is Incursus, Thorax, Brutix, Megathron, and the drone ships are Imicus, Vexor, Myrmidon, and Dominix. We'll go into it in a much more detail, of course, but in the class we will concentrate on the ships that are more successful in the PvE arena, and obviously we can have a debate around that as we go through and at the end. First thing that I like to talk about the kind of this stage of the class is we're Galente pilots, or we're learning about Galente PvE here. Are drones important? And certainly my view is there is not much point in using Galente damage dealing ships, or indeed the ships of many other races, beyond the frigate level unless you want to play with drones and you want to train drone skills. In PvE certainly they form a very major part of the Galente ship's offensive capability, and particularly in mission running provide a lot of flexibility to the way that you can optimize your setup and generate ISK. The good points of drones, of course, being that they don't require any ammo. They kind of work if you get damped, jammed, or are suffering from some e-war, which is encountered in PvE, particularly in level 4 missions, fairly often. And unlike railguns and blasters, which are the hybrid turrets that we will be using on Galente ships, you can change the drone type to just the damage type that you are doing. And damage type and changing damage type is very important, both from a tanking point of view and from an offensive capability point of view, when you're running missions. So you want to be doing the right kind of damage. Obviously there are 4 types of damage, and you want to be tanking the right kind of damage as well. So setting up your ship and its offensive capability, very important. Yes, Puppy, by all means go ahead and record. There are other recordings of this class around and about, but feel free to press the record button if you want. So the bad points of drones, well, not quite as bad as they used to be, but you do need to actively manage your drones. They are fairly stupid. They are easily damaged and can be lost if you ignore drone aggro, as we call it, that they start to be attacked by your NPC opposition. And if you're like me and you occasionally have one too many bottle of beer, or perhaps when you're still learning the game, it's quite easy to leave them behind, get them lost, warp out, go through the Stargate, and forget about your drones. And particularly when you start using Tech 2 drones, that can start to become a bit of an annoying and expensive habit. And the other downside of drones is if they're not managed carefully and you don't set them in the right mode in your drone management window, they can easily aggro multiple groups in mission rooms. That can result in you taking more damage than you want to, and potentially could result in you losing your ship if it isn't managed correctly. Because managing aggro, you know, following the mission guides that are available, aggroing the mission groups of NPCs in the right order is an important part of, as you're learning missions, managing the amount of damage you're taking and successfully completing the mission. Yes, Nathaniel, yeah. Pod's not the most effective PvE weapon in the game, but it sounds like you got out. At least it was still a pod, so good news. Shield versus armor tank. Okay, right. Well, the slot configuration on most Galente ships favours armor tanking and armor skills. And that is the kind of design intent, I would venture, for the Galente fleet. We are a kind of armor tanking race, if you like. There are a few Galente ships that are capable of fielding highly successful shield tanks. The Myrmidon being one, the Celestis and others, particularly in the Tech 2 categories, which we're not going to be talking about. But it's generally out with the class scope. If you're taking conventional PvE Galente route, with a couple of exceptions that we can perhaps talk about at the very end of the class, you're going to be armor tanking, and you're going to need armor tanking skills. And not forgetting that those ships that can shield tank are also capable armor tankers as well. So, particularly early in the game when you're developing and learning your skills, it's a lot easier to focus on being very successful armor tanker rather than trying to spread those skills around and becoming a kind of mildly successful armor tanker and a mildly successful shield tanker. Keita, we'll cover the EW ships and we'll talk about that at the end if you like, but EW offensive capability in PvE is not one of our primary kind of learning objectives of this class, but I'd be happy to go into it at the end and we can have a big debate about other stuff. Remember that tanking, you know, we start talking about tanking. Tanking is taking damage, managing damage, maintaining your armor or shield hit points on the ship, and not having to warp out of the room, not having your shields or ship blown up. Okay, tanking in PvE is about sustaining and absorbing damage over a long period. So it is different to PvP tanking. So the key thing here is, there is a real distinction to be made here. If you want to know about tanking in detail, and armor tanking in detail, then there is a separate class which I happen to run, which you'd be welcome to join, but we'll touch on it because it's an important part of Galente PvE, so we'll talk about it briefly at a more superficial level than the detailed class. The key difference between PvE and PvP tanking, of course, is PvP, a battle, may last 2 or 3 minutes. A level 4 mission, depending on how good your offensive capabilities are, could be an hour. Okay, so a buffer tank is not going to do you an hour. Basically, you need something that you can sustain, and preferably sustain indefinitely whilst tanking damage. I don't know whether anybody in here has ever run into a tanking problem in a mission. In fact, if anybody is running missions, I very much doubt there is anyone here that hasn't. Key thing here is we're going to be running reppers. We're going to be active tanking because that's how we, as armor tankers, generally sustain and maintain our tank over a long period of time. And basically, we know when we're getting into trouble because once we get below 31% cap, if we're having cap problems, we know that we've gone past our peak cap output. If our armor gets down to towards the bottom end of the armor, kind of ring of the donut, and we start getting into structure, we now need to be warping out of the mission and making a hasty retreat. For PvE mission running, ratting, it's often better to focus, in addition to repping, on resistances. In fact, it's almost essential to focus on resistances, and there I'm referring once again to being able to tank the right kind of damage, because hit points We're not buffer tanking. The number of hit points is not critical to our tank in PvE. It's all about how much we can tank on a sustainable basis over a long period of time. So hardeners, in their all various different types, armor repairers, and active mods like damage controls are important in the way that we set up our tank, and the selection of modules that match the damage types we see in the mission rooms. And we know what they're going to be in advance, in missions in particular, because we have guides, and we understand the different faction damage dealing types, so we can set up our tank and our ship to maximize our damage, maximize our tank, maximize the time, or minimize, I should say, the time it takes to do the mission, and maximize our income over the period that we're doing them. Does it matter if your character is not Galente? No, it does not. If you train the skills, you can fly the ships just like anybody else. So it doesn't matter. If you're not a Galente character, but you fancy coming and joining us, welcome. It's common for more experienced pilots, people who've been in the game for a long time, actually to fly many or all different races of ships. And there's no reason why, if they've trained the skill, they will be any less effective than the kind of racial pilots, if you like. Let's talk about Galente PvE strategy. There are specific mission running classes. Beastie Boy, who is kind of an active tutor and trainer in the university, runs mission running classes, which is about the kind of strategy stuff. Here we're focusing mainly on ships and fitting, but it's worth talking a little bit about it because it kind of really harks back to how we set our ships up in the first place. What strategy works in PvE for Galente ships? Well, you know, we've got some choices to make. Okay, so Puppy has also said there he's going to run a kind of mission running class there. Well, strategy one is, you know, what type of hybrid turrets do we fit? Do we fit rails or blasters? Generally speaking, for missions, we will fit rails. And we will fit blasters for PvP and perhaps ratting if we're of a mind to do so. Blasters in missions are fun, but they are not as effective as rails. So it's rails for missions, blasters for PvP, and possibly ratting. Some of the mature or experienced pilots may think that's an oversimplification, but obviously we're trying to keep things fairly simple for people to understand here. Rails for missions, blasters for PvP. Okay. In missions, our aim is to fight at optimal range for rails. You know, this is kind of perfect world. Using our drones. Okay. We can use E-War mods and modules to help us in targeting NPC ships and other things, but generally speaking, E-War fittings are not especially useful in PvE, with a couple of minor exceptions. You don't have to fit them, and they can have only generally a minor benefit. So it's about fighting at optimal range for rails using drones. We want to maintain our optimal fighting distance, particularly if we've got problems tanking a whole room. One strategy is you go into a mission room, you aggro everything because you've got absolute 100% confidence in your tank, and then you just sit there and pop everything. Early in the game, though, when you're flying smaller ships or ships with perhaps more delicate tank and maybe more offensive capability, you might want to maintain your optimal fighting distance using a strategy called kiting. Kiting is basically using an afterburner to maintain your distance from the opposition, and hopefully your rail range will be greater than their offensive range, whatever it might be. Therefore, it's a way of managing damage as well. Kiting strategy. Something I did a lot of in frigates and destroyers, as I recall. We, as I mentioned already, change our damage and armor resistance types to be varied according to the mission type. If someone could link the Eve Survival website in chat, that would be useful, because there we will find mission descriptions for pretty much all of the missions we'd like to be seeing. Great source of information for all missions, and I recommend that every person that goes on a mission checks their mission database. It doesn't have to be eSurvival, that's the one I think most people use, and sets up their tank and their drones in accordance with the advice that's contained therein. Remember that one of the other variations that we can use as Galente is we can use different sizes of drones. Obviously, light drones are much more effective in many cases, particularly as before you've trained a lot of drone skills at hitting the smaller ships, the faster ships, the frigates, the NPC ships that are difficult to track. Obviously, as you go up the NPC opposition size, you can adjust your drone type. So your opportunity as a Galente with drones is to change the damage type by selecting different types of drone that do different types of damage, to make sure you're damaging the NPC opposition where they are weakest, and also to choose the size of your drone, depending on how big your drone bay is, to ensure that you're using the drones that are going to be most successful at tracking and hitting the opposition. If you're flying a battleship, particularly a Dominix, which most or many mission runners are, then you have options because you've got a huge drone bay. Similarly, other ships like the Vexor and others which can give you that capability. Blaster setups, about 30 to 40% more damage per second at optimal than a rail setup, so blasters do more damage, certainly true. They are fun, but because you're getting in close, optimal on the best blasters is very small indeed. I think certainly with my skills, on the Brutix I use PvP, it's about 1.5 kilometers. So you're right in there, and as a consequence, you can take a lot of damage, and tend to take quite a lot of time to get in range as well. Particularly if you warp into a mission room and you're 60 kilometers out, you could be taking fire all the way in. So, especially as micro warp drives don't work in a lot of mission rooms, you can see why the blaster setup, although you've got more raw DPS, may not be as effective, although can be fun at times. Obviously, there are possible exceptions, some missions and rooms which might be the exception that prove the rule, but generally speaking, go back to what we said about rails for missions, blasters for PvP. In ratting, you can do much what you write, really. Blasters, drones, micro warp drive will work, but in high sec, ratting, not a tremendous way of making money, to be honest with you. In fact, I would argue low sec as well. Not a particularly good way of making money. In 00, it's a slightly different story, but as uni members, we are not permitted to go to 00, so therefore, that's largely academic. We can get into that a little bit later on. Generally speaking, if you want a kind of a battle type scenario to make money, the best way of doing it in high sec is by running missions. A moment's refreshment. Okay, shall we go through the ships? Right. If you're flying one of these ships, or if you can link one of these ships in the window, then that'd be great. So we talk about the frigates, okay? And frigate setup for PvE, level 1 missions and ratting. I think this is the only point at which I would say, for Glentes, shield tanking can be a good idea. In frigates, because of the shorter cycle time, less cap intensive per cycle, shield tanking can actually be quite a viable option for us Galente when we're low on skills in frigates, because it is a less cap intensive per cycle and therefore more controllable. But armor tanking does work fine in frigates, providing you've got some skills, and obviously by training those skills, what you're doing is preparing yourself for later in the game when you're going to need those skills in cruisers, battlecruisers, battleships, and possibly beyond. In a frigate, you're not likely to be able to tank a whole room of ships in a frigate, so you're probably going to be kiting, as we talked about before, i.e. managing your optimal range, so you need to fit an afterburner. You're not likely to be able to adjust your tank tremendously well to different damage types, because you're limited in the number of low slots you've got. I mean, for example, you know, a couple of the Glente frigates, the Atron, the Imicus, the Incursus, basically you've only got a couple of low slots, so you're not going to be fitting a kind of omni tank very successfully to that or very easily. So basically, useful fittings for a frigate: damage control, and if you're short of power grid, things like power diagnostic system or reactor control units, these will help you if you get short of power grid. Co-processors, if you're short of CPU, trying to squeeze that last gun on. And early on, you'll see people advising against this, but if you are having problems with cap and you're training skills to try and prevent yourself from running out of caps, then think about fitting a cap booster. Cap booster charges are not expensive, and they can save your ass when you run out of cap and everything switches off in a mission room. So if you are early in the game having trouble maintaining your cap, think about fitting a cap booster. Later in the game, as your skills get better, that's a good point by fading, you get them dropped by NPCs a lot, cap booster charges, so you might not even have to pay for them at all. Early in the game, not a bad strategy to think about. Key thing in general, before we go through them in detail, about frigates is don't forget the drone and don't forget to set the drone. Because with frigates doing a very small amount of DPS, that drone will make a great deal of difference. You know, if you take, let's say, a Tristan for an example, with kind of moderate skills, your DPS might only be 30. You might only be doing 30 DPS. A drone will add 6 DPS to that. So that's what? That's a decent percentage increase, 20%. Okay. Quick sip, and we're off with the ships. I don't know if anybody's tried flying an Atron in PvE. It's the smallest, the cheapest of the frigates in the Galente fleet. It's not got a massive amount of capability, but it is better than a noob ship. Only got 2 high, medium and low slots. Pretty weak power grid and cap. Peak cap is very low. It does have drones. But obviously, you're not going to be running very much in the way of missions in an Atron or for very long. But it is better than a Velator, which is our start ship. It's also the basis for some of our interceptors because it is very, very fast. I've actually got quite a few Atrons because I like to use them instead of shuttles. If you put a buy order on the system, you can pick them up for almost nothing on the marketplace. And quite a good option for a runabout if you're going to nip to Jeter and back. I would not recommend it, though, as your primary objective for PvE in the Galente fleet. So a zippy scout, but don't get in a fight, I would say. Yep, as Nathaniel says, fast and cheap as chips, but you're not going to be battling out in mission rooms in the Atron for very long before you start getting into trouble. Imicus has also got only 2 high, medium and low slots. It's also got a very poor peak cap. The advantage it has is it's got a big drone bay. And that actually means that it can do a reasonable amount of DPS for a frigate, Tech 1 frigate. It's actually the Astrometrics frigate for the Tech 1 for Glentes. It's actually got a very big cargo bay as well. So I would say if you're training drone skills and you want to go down the drone route, it's not a bad option. The trouble with Imicus at level 1, though, is if you lose any drones, your DPS disappears very quickly. Useful to have around, though. Again, cheap to buy. Massive cargo hold, and quite good if you're also considering doing a bit of trading on the side or you want to run some courier missions. Essentially, I would describe it as a drone boat, an effective weapon if you've got good drone skills, a delivery van, good for transport and stuff around, but still inferior to other Galente frigates for PvE. The Incursus is a gunboat. The first of the gunboats, very good DPS, quick, decent tank, good for level 1 missions, a very good tackler in PvP, so it's a kind of double role if you like. Has a fall-off bonus to its guns, which means that it can hit at distance more effectively, means your kiting strategy will be more effective in an Incursus because you'll be able to hit at distance and you've got a greater probability of hitting the opposition beyond your optimal range, so great for rails. Good ship for kiting missions. It does also help with blasters as well, and actually as a tackler in fleet, and I'm deviating slightly here from the core objective, it's quite good to fit a few blasters on it. You can do a surprising amount of DPS whilst you're tackling those enemies of the uni. So I like the Incursus. Personally, my favourite. It's got a really cool pointy bit on the front, which makes it look quite evil. And an alternative to the Tristan for people who like to get in close and have fun and use guns, and primarily guns, as their offensive capability. I would say a good choice, but probably not as good as the Tristan. Let's talk about the Morlus. The Morlus, briefly, is an e-warfare frigate. Challenge you to a GLC, yeah, very good. I don't think the pointy bit has actually any effective capability other than looking cool. The Morlus, primary role is e-warfare, as I'm sure people know. It has limited use in as a damage dealer. It's got three high slots, but only two of them you can actually fit any guns to. In order to achieve a reasonable DPS, you'll be reliant on drones, because you can fit two drones. It's not a particularly good tanker, though. Not very PvE-friendly. Has a bonus to damps, which is obviously a more effective use of e-war in PvP. Popular in fleet and gang PvP warfare, although less popular these days since they nerfed the sensor damps. Although still useful, not as useful as it used to be. Kind of weird looking, but in a good way. And the aesthetics of these things are very important, of course. Ascalente flying the most beautiful ships in the universe. Not very useful as a PvE frigate. I would say keep one for possibly flying in fleet, but don't try missioning in it. Yeah, a couple of Amar people in there upset about the statement I made about the Galente ships. I must admit, the Amar's ships are very shiny. And if it wasn't Galente ships I'm flying, I would probably be flying Amar, if it makes you feel any better. Navitas is a mining ship. It's a great mining frigate, but we're not talking about mining. Talk to Jen about that if you want to know about that. We're not talking about it. Do not go fighting in a Navitas. Tristan is arguably the best Galente frigate for PvE. Okay, apologies. Talk to Mrs. Industry. Okay. It's unusual for a Galente frigate, and annoying, to be honest, that it fits two launchers for rockets and missiles. We don't normally train our core missile and rocket skills for most of our fleet. There are one or two ships that have that capability. But that is part of the reason that it is a good PvE weapon, because in spite of everything you might hear, a lot of people will tell you that missiles and rockets, missiles in particular, are the most effective PvE weapon. And unfortunately, I would tend to agree, because you can select your damage type. As Galentes and using hybrids, we cannot select our damage type for our main turret weapons. It's going to be thermal kinetic, and that is it. If you're firing missiles, you can select damage types. Instant advantage. If you don't like it, you can talk to CCP. Okay. Tristan, so what's it like? Well, obviously it's slow for a frigate. Okay, so has got the best tank, the highest power grid, the strongest cap of all the Galente frigates, and I believe the largest structure hit points of all the Tech 1 frigates. So fit a damage control and you've got an escape route. The inconvenience of training missile launcher skills to the low levels you require for this ship to be effective is worth it, because the Tristan is widely used in PvE and for level 1 missions is a very effective piece of gear. Excellent all-round frigate and great choice for PvE. Can also be used as a tackler in PvP. Personally, I favour the Incursus because of its speed, but it's all about upside downside. Tristan, probably our best frigate. I mentioned in passing the Catalyst. The Catalyst, obviously not a frigate, it's a destroyer. It's much bigger, much more expensive. Its role in PvE is really as a frigate killer in level 1 missions. You're going to have trouble in level 2 missions in a Catalyst, because it's got a sig radius is almost as big as a cruiser, but it can't tank hardly at all. So yeah, PvE level 1 destroyer rules, Keita says. I tend to agree. Don't take it into level 2 missions though, because it won't last very long. The downside for pilots early in the game though is it is difficult to fit because of the large number of high slots. It can be difficult to manage grid and CPU requirements and fit it effectively. It does have a niche in the game outside mission running as an excellent dedicated salvager. Okay. And that's what you find many pilots use it. So it's actually quite a good ship to buy early in the game. When you've got some money, or you borrowed and stole some money off someone, and you're early in the game, get a Catalyst, use it to blast through your level 1 missions, and then fit it as a salvager, and use it in your future career as a level 2, 3, 4 salvager, dedicated salvager. However, having said that, you could just skip it and go straight onto a cruiser and probably have just as much fun. So conclusion on the Catalyst, which is a destroyer, it's a frigate killer, a great level 1 mission runner, no competition for a cruiser though, and it's not going to be very easy to handle level 2 missions in a destroyer. Great for salvaging afterwards though. I see it's all getting quite technical in chat. Thanks for these contributions, by the way, much appreciated. Right, should we talk about cruisers? Anybody currently flying a Galente cruiser in level 2 missions? Okay, that's great. This one usually gets people going. Okay, so we got... okay, good to see a few people flying Vexus and Thoraxes. Not really very surprising. We've got 4 cruisers in the Galente fleet. Cruiser setup for PvE, level 2 missions, ratting, rails, drones, afterburner, and armor tank. Okay. Make sure you can field 5 drones if you're flying a cruiser. You should have drones 5 by now if you're flying a cruiser. If you're not fielding 5 drones, then you are doing yourself out of a considerable amount of DPS. No real reason to shield tank in these, as there's not really enough medium slots to make it particularly effective. Some Celestis pilots may argue with me on that, but there's no real advantage to the shield tanking at this stage. So armor tank, rails, drones and afterburner. Time to start thinking about damage resistances when you're flying the cruiser more seriously. You can fit plates, but I generally recommend looking at your damage types, fitting hardeners, either active or passive, but active obviously being far more effective from a damage point of view, and setting up your tank, choosing your drones in accordance with the right damage types, according to the mission guide on e-survival. And with a cruiser, you can rat pretty much anywhere with a right fit. I have even seen videos of experienced pilots ratting in 0-0 in Thoraxes. Not that that applies to us, but I guess it just demonstrates that these ships have quite a good offensive capability against NPC ships of all types. And with the right setup, cruisers can do a surprising amount of damage in PvP as well, so they're a good set of ships. The Execura is our Tech 1 logistics ship, with bonuses for remote armor repping and kind of used as an armored transport, if you like. A good sized cargo bay, not really very effective as a damage dealer compared to the other cruisers, and not really the best, although it's the cheapest, not really the best option to go for level 2 missions. I wouldn't recommend jumping straight into an Execura. Just save up for a week longer and get a Vexa. So, nice thing about Execura though is, with cargo expanders, it can make quite a sort of effective transport, and kind of for you to slip in and out of Jita unnoticed with a surprising amount of room in the cargo hold. I do actually use them for that, and if I'm going into low sec to pick things up and they've got a bit of volume to them, I quite often use an Execura because it's a little bit less cumbersome, or in fact a lot less cumbersome than a general industrial ship. Thank you for that link. Okay, Celestis. It's a bit like the cruiser equivalent of the Morlus. It's pretty much an e-war ship. It has 2 missile launchers. Many Galente pilots won't have trained the necessary skills to fit the requisite launchers to that. Very small drone bay, only 40 meters cubed, so you can't even get 5 medium drones in a Celestis. That, for me, in combination with the fact that it's got the 2 missile turrets and a relatively crap tank compared to the Vexor and the Thorax, means that it's not really as good as a PvE mission running ship as the last 2 cruisers we're going to talk about. Although I have had people disagree with me on that. If you've got good missile skills, if you're a conversion pilot from Kaldari or Minmatar shield tanking, and you can field a good shield tank and you've got good missile skills, then that might not be the case for you. But for most of us Galente pilots, on our way through training our drones and armor skills, it's a bit of an inconvenience. Quite nice in fleet though, and useful to use in PvP, and I know the uni likes to see them amongst the e-war ships, amongst the hordes of blackbirds we tend to field, so maybe one to go back to in the future. Okay, Thorax. I'm doing these in the wrong order, aren't I? Talk about the Vexa. Vexa is our cruiser drone boat. one of the most flexible ships in the Galente fleet, and happens to be my favourite cruiser. It has bonuses for hybrids and drones, and that bonus includes mining. So if you are, again, sort of climbing your way up the hierarchy of ships and you want some side income, you can actually mine very surprisingly effectively in a Vexer. Okay, and I'm not talking about the Navy issue here. That's for rich people. We have to have good drone skills for using a Vexer effectively, but actually you could apply that also to the Thorax, which has a decent sized drone bay. The Vexer has only 4 turret slots. The 5th high slot is not a turret, so you're going to have to think of something else to do with that. The drone bay has recently been expanded and can accommodate 4 mediums, a heavy drone, 5 mediums, 5 lights. Has a good tank, a large cargo bay, which is always nice in mission running. And due to the drone bonuses and the ability to fit 4 minor 2s, as I've said, makes a good mining ship. If you're saving for your first cruiser, this is the one that I would recommend that you get, because of its flexibility. It is also effective in PvP, although it is in competition with the Thorax there, which is one of the most popular PvP cruisers in the game. So, Vexor, our PvE drone boat and miner, good first cruiser option, because it's so flexible, and actually slightly cheaper usually than the Thorax, so recommended by, it comes with the Chuck seal of approval, the Vexor. Okay. Final one, Thorax. I've seen a few links to Thorax in here. Very nice looking ship. Slightly phallic in nature, but no problem there. And the Amar guys will like that. Galente gunboat. Expensive, but capable. Very effective in missions due to the relative high DPS capability. Need good gunnery skills as well as drone skills for the ship, because squeezing all those turrets and trying to get the next size up, trying to get those 200mm sort of guns fitted on all 5 high slots can be a challenge when you're learning and training skills. Don't fit loads of CPU and power grid low slot modules and basically destroy your tanking ability just to squeeze those guns on. Early in the game, you're better off having an effective tank and taking a little bit longer to complete that mission. With 5 medium drones, which is what the Thorax can carry, you're still going to be able to do decent damage even by fitting the smallest medium turret to the Thorax, or even potentially small turrets in the high slots if you need to do that. Comes into its own also, obviously, in ratting and PvP because of its potential high DPS with blasters. But blasters aren't really our choice in PvE, so it does work as a railgun drone boat, but it doesn't have quite as much drone space as a Vexor, so you've got not much room for making mistakes. If you get drone aggro and you lose the drone or two, you're going to start going to be in a bit of a problem with a Thorax. Ultimately, though, if you're an experienced mission runner and confident with managing that kind of stuff, it can be good. Sorry, was someone making a comment there? Okay, just make sure you've got push to talk shut set, please. Okay. Battle cruisers. Who's flying battle cruisers? Give us a wave in the classroom. Okay, now tell us which one's your favourite. Oh, here we got. We've got the full fitting here, Myrmidon. Okay, we have only 2 in the Galente fleet. So PVE battle cruiser setup, level 3 missions, pretty much, and potentially ratting if you want. Battlecruiser mission fit is generally rails, drones, afterburner, armor reppers, possibly 2 armor reppers if you want to go for what they call the dual armor repper setup, and active hardeners in PvE. In level 3 missions, you need to pay attention to the kind of damage your NPC enemies are doing and select the resists and damages drones accordingly. Some level 3 missions, particularly the rooms that you're not designed to stick around in, can have very high DPS, i.e. you're doing a lot of damage. Battlecruiser is really overkill for ratting in high sec, as we've already mentioned. You can do that in the cruiser very effectively, and indeed in low sec. It's expensive enough also, I think, to start looking seriously at fitting Tech 2 fittings. So start thinking about fitting armor tank. To get a Tech 2 tank, there's only 3 skills to level 5. Okay, we'll go into that under skills. But really, if you're going to spend 40 million plus on a ship, really, by this time in the game, I would expected you to start trying to fit Tech 2 tank at least to your ship and be working towards the Tech 2 guns and drones. Remembering that a Tech 2 tank can be more than 50% more effective than a Tech 1 tank. Just the same fittings, but Tech 2, 50% more effective. And that's a lot. Battlecruisers, armor tanked in particular, are only capable of tanking some level 4 missions. Excellent in gangs in level 4, but in a battlecruiser you're going to struggle to solo all level 4 missions unless you're really clever or you've got very high skills. Okay, yep. We'll start with the Brutix. Brutix is a gunboat. It's kind of next in our kind of gunboat line, and it's a capable mission runner, good DPS, 7 high slots. Again, the fitting requirements can catch you out when you're still training skills for CPU and CPU and power requirements for fitting guns. Can be hard to fit all 7 with medium guns without using engineering mods. That can impact your tank, so watch out for that. Drone bay can fit 5 medium drones. Good additional damage. Make sure that you can fly and fit 5 medium drones. You should have been doing that in your cruiser. No space for spares or really for any heavies in there. Blaster setup for high DPS suits the Brutix and is very effective for ratting and PvP, but not really for PvE and level 3s. Short range, obviously, same discussion we had about with the cruisers. You're going to take a lot of damage on the way in, so problematic in some missions. Nothing wrong with the Brutix as a PvE ship. Ugly as sin, in my opinion, but kind of evil looking. But in reality, it's just, for PvE, certainly not really a match for the Myrmidon. Myrmidon more expensive, but the better PvE ship. And the reason for that is the capability it has with drones. And a kind of a nice follow-on from talking about the Brutix to the Myrmidon is most Galente PvEers who want to end up generating income by flying level 4s are going to end up flying a drone boat. Not all, but most. And therefore, flying a Myrmidon and using its bonuses, carrying drones, and deploying them and using them in level 3s is good training ground for getting used to and managing the same kind of thing in a Dominix in level 4 missions. So Myrmidon is our drone boat. It has a very large drone bay. It's recently expanded one of the recent patches. We're now up to, let me just get my numbers here. Yeah. Drone bandwidth 75. Okay, so you can field 3 heavies. Basically, you used to be able to field 5 heavy drones in a Myrmidon, and it was pretty awesome then. It basically had almost the same offensive capability as a battleship. And that's probably one of the reasons why CCP stepped in and reduced our bandwidth on the Myrmidon, increased the size of the drone bay, decreased the amount of bandwidth available, so you can no longer field 5 heavy drones, but you can certainly carry them, or you can carry a mixture of other drones. Yeah, many of us really enjoyed the Myrmidon with 5 heavy drones, and actually they were very commonplace in low and no sec as PvP weapons. Not so much these days. Has bonus for drone hit points, damage and armor repairs, so it's got a drone bonus built in. If you're a conversion pilot from Kaldari, and I'm sure someone's mentioned it already, the Myrmidon is quite well known for having a very effective shield tank, and capable of fielding a passive shield tank that some say is as good or better than the legendary Drake. Did I say CCCP? Due to the relatively high number of mid and low slots, you know, it can be a good shield tanker. However, it has got a bonus, as does the Brutix, to armor tanking, and with a dual medium armor repers and a full active tank with hardeners of the right damage type, can actually tank a lot of damage armor tanking as well, making full use of its 7.5% bonus. For level 3 missions, you'll find the Myrmidon armor tank to be more than adequate for managing those missions. For most of us, Okay, so we're going to be fitting armor tank, double reppers when we need them, active hardeners, more than adequate. The only downside to the Myrmidon really is that once you start adding up the cost of the Myrmidon and everything else, you're getting quite close to the cost of a Dominix, actually, the battleship, which is extremely cheap for a battleship, actually. And we can have the debate, but there is an argument that says the only downside to that, of course, is that you have to train more skills. I would say go for the Myrmidon, use it, and then progress the Dominix. But I have had people challenge me in this class before now saying, look, you know, if I've got the skills, I can almost get into a Dominix with the same amount of money. Okay, cap stability can be an issue depending on your skills and grid skills. Many people find they need to fit at least one cap control circuit to get it cap stable with two medium armor reppers, meow, if that's how we say your name. Okay, so I know certainly my first Myrmidon that I took missioning had the same issue, and I fitted one cap control circuit to it, and that kind of helped me out with a lot of those problems. Battlecruisers, you know, it's a substantial investment. I wouldn't overlook the possibility of fitting rigs. I wouldn't rig a cruiser or a frigate, but I would certainly rig a battlecruiser or a battleship. In fact, I would definitely rig a battleship. Battlecruisers, you can get away with not rigging them, but certainly the Myrmidon, if you want to fit all the guns and everything else and have a dual repair tank on it, you're probably going to need at least one cap control circuit. Okay. Myrmidon. So considered by some, presumably non-Galente pilots, to be overpowered, but obviously was nerfed recently by CCP. We could have the same discussion about the Drake, but obviously us Galente a little bit more magnanimous about that. So, Myrmidon. Battlecruisers. Obviously you've got some cash in your pocket. We're talking 30, 40 million here. Make sure you can fit the Tech 2 modules as soon as you can. Worth the extra cash, go for the Myrmidon for PvE. Excellent level 3 missions, will be useful in the future, a good gang kind of option, and very high DPS when you're fielding 3 heavy drones and you've got the great tanking ability to go in there. Also, conversion pilots, people with good shield skills, great passive shield tank, so I'm told, but I'm not a shield tanker. I'm encouraged by the amount of people that's still in the chat room, actually. Don't know how many of you are asleep. Battleships. Okay, and we'll finish on battleships and we'll have a bit of a debate. Okay, PvE battleships. We are active students, Fading Star. Very good. I'm not going to talk about faction ships, by the way, so if other people want to talk about faction ships, fine. I have a view on them, but I will only share if asked. For PvE, anyway. Okay, pilots need to have trained battleship skills reasonably well before you jump into a battleship. The problem with battleships, when you're going from battlecruiser to battleship, is a whole bunch of new skills you need. You need the battleship skill, you need large turret skills, and you need heavy drone skills, and possibly sentry skills as well. In fact, I would recommend sentry skills. So, whilst you can get battleship level 1 fairly easily, if you jump into that battleship too soon, and with poor skills, you will find that your Dominix may even tank worse than your battlecruiser did with decent skills. Yes, thank you, large armor repair and all that stuff. So don't move to battleship too soon, or do what I did, if you like, buy one and use it to mine. I mined in my Dominix for kind of a month or so, because I wanted one and I wanted to do something with it, but I knew that if I took it in a mission room I'd probably lose it. So I mined with my Dominix, which is actually pretty damn good at mining, to be quite honest with you. Got the income, trained the skills, and then went into the mission rooms with it. To be effective in soloing level 4 missions, you need a Tech 2 tank on a battleship. In fact, you really should be fielding a Tech 2 tank on a battleship. Rigs are important as well. If you want a cap stable armor, active armor tank on a Dominix, you're going to need to start fitting rigs. The common rigs that we fit to battleships in PvE are cap control circuits to generate more caps so that we can keep our tank active and stable, and auxiliary nano pumps, which are the ones which improve your repping capability. So more reps per cycle, and therefore improve your tank. The Dominic's obviously the ultimate incarnation for our Tech 1 drone ships. Huge drone bay. You can fit kind of 5 sentries, 5 heavies, 5 mediums and 5 light drones and have a bit of space to spare, so you can take your full set out. Solid but slow mission runner, and slow as in terms of moving slowly, with a solid tank and great damage from drones. The Dominic's is the most common Galente battleship PvE ship for missions and level 4 missions, soloing level 4 missions. And I would argue, although some would disagree, the most effective as well. But obviously you need the drone skills. Particularly if you've got good sentry skills, very effective. Cheap for a battleship as well, very cheap. And also makes an expensive but effective mining vessel, as I mentioned. Okay, Cater's put the Hyperion question mark there. I will answer that question when we get to Hyperion. Dominic's also very effective in the hands of a pilot with relatively low skills. In level 3s, you can still fit a good tank, you can fit medium turrets to it, you don't need mega gunnery skills if you've got decent drone skills. You can get into level 3 missions, have a little practice with it, fly it a bit like a battle cruiser, and you're less likely to get in trouble than you are going into a level 4. But low skill pilots, I would say, consider fitting medium guns, because you're not likely to have the large gun skills. Gunnery takes a lot of training to be good, and that is one of the reasons why the Megathron and the Hyperion are very difficult to be highly effective in PvE. But we'll go into that in a minute. So, Dominic's, probably one of the ugliest ships in the game. Don't know what people think about that. Looks a bit like a turd or a potato. I've heard various variations on that, but very powerful drone boat, great for PvE, fantastic for people with great drone skills. Definitely the right choice for your first battleship and for soloing level 4 missions. And I solo level 4 missions, and I've done it in all 3 of the battleships, and I personally believe that the Dominic's is the best PvE Galente battleship, Tech 1, bar none. Megathron. Pretty ship. It's a gunboat with bonuses to damage and tracking. It's capable of extremely high damage. Tracking bonus greatly helps in tracking smaller ships, which makes it an effective fleet vessel as well as PvE ship. Can fit big guns to it as well, do quite a lot of damage from your guns. Can carry 5 heavy drones and field them. So obviously going to be very much an offensive damage weapon, more capability than the Dominic's there. But with no spare space. If you put 5 heavy drones in there, you've got no space for anything else. Large hybrids have very heavy cap requirements. Can be difficult to get cap stable, although it is a good tanker if you manage the cap side of it. But guns and gunnery support skills need to be really high. Very popular in PvP still, but overall, because it lacks the flexibility in the drone bay, and gunnery skills, however good they are, will generally still struggle when you've got very small ships doing a high kind of angular velocity, you're going to have difficulty hitting them. I have found that the Dominic's requires much less attention and focus to be successful in PvE than the Megathron. So personally, I would not recommend Megathron as your primary PvE ship. Yeah, Fading Stars said the Dominic's is an AFK ship. I wouldn't go quite as far as saying that. I would say you can walk away and make a cup of tea and come back again without getting into trouble. But there are still some... Yeah, I understand it's a slight exaggeration. But there are some meshing rooms where you'll still run into problems, and even in a Dominic's. So not as AFK friendly, watching TV friendly as the Dominic's, the Megathron. And great in fleet though, because of its high damage capability, and when it's gank fitted, you can really eat stuff up. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. Hyperion? Okay, this is an interesting one. We can have a discussion about this at the end for the more experienced pilots. Has one of the best armor tanks in the game, probably second only to the Abaddon, which is obviously an Amar ship. Has bonuses to armor repair, can absorb large amounts of damage when active tanking. Sadly, active tanking no longer much good in PvP because of all the energy weapons that are out there. As a damage dealer, it's got 8 high slots, but it hasn't got the tracking bonus of the Megathron, so it finds it difficult hitting smaller targets, not effective against small ships. The real disappointing thing about the Hyperion, though, is it's got a very small drone bay. You can't even field a full set of heavy drones. Has an adverse effect on its DPS capability, makes it a difficult mission ship. Originally designed as a blaster boat, the Hyperion lacks flexibility in a PvE mission. Personally, I think it's not as effective as a Megathron in its PvP role, and my Hyperion is now a big, expensive salvager, because I can get a nice big cargo bay and fit loads of salvagers and tractors on it. And that probably tells you all you need to know. I've got a Mega for flying in fleet, a Domi for all my missions, and a Hyperion that I have really to polish on Sundays and take out to do my salvaging for me, which is kind of a shame, but that's where we are with our Tier 3 battleship. Yeah, so as Fading Star says, you know, what the Hyperion somewhat lost after various changes by CCP and not really got a very good role in the game. So your choices from a PvE point of view at battleship level are Dominix and Megathron, with a hearty recommendation that you go with the Dominix, because I doubt the Megathron is going to be as capable. Okay, that's the ship run through. Going to talk a little bit about armor tanking. Past classes have asked me to go into this in a little bit of detail, so I'm not going to do the armor tanking class because we'd be here for another hour and I'm sure I kill a few people off. But I'm going to talk to you a little bit about it. So, armor tanking in PvE. Remember that if you want to know more about armor tanking, come along to my armor tanking class that I run every month or so, and we can talk about it ad nauseum in great detail. The key to PvE tanking, as I've mentioned already, is sustainability. Missions can take a long time. When you start doing level 4s, maybe your DPS isn't as good as it might be. You can be in there an hour and a half or more, sort of banging away at some of these, particularly the rats with the bigger bonuses, can take a lot of killing. In PvE, we active tank. The key difference to PvP and PvE is that in PvE, you know what kind of damage you're going to see in a mission. So you can read the mission guide, fit the specific resistances to match damage types, and have higher resistances than if you needed to omni-tank. Omni-tank is where you don't know what damage you're going to see, so you try and resist all damage types. Rule 1 armor tanking in PvE, do not omni-tank every mission. You are needlessly taking damage and risking your ship for no reason. So you fit the damage specific, and that can be the difference between an omni-tank. You know, even the best omni-tanking Tech 1 battleships will struggle to tank more than about 800 DPS, but with a 2 damage type mission-specific tank, you can easily tank double that. You know, so 1600 DPS in a Dominix. So that's how much difference it makes. Typical level 4 mission can be anywhere between 800 to over 1500 DPS full Remagro or more, depending on where you are. So you can see why that's important. My example would be, I am offered a level 3 mission, Massive Attack. On EVE Survival Org it says I will encounter Sancha NPCs who will be doing EM and thermal damage. So I fit EM and thermal hardness to my ship. The database also says I should do EM damage, so I fill my drone bay with EM damage drones. In this case, they'll be infiltrators. All T1 hybrid guns do kinetic and thermal damage, so there's actually knack all I can do about that. So I just fit my guns with the various ranges of ammo that I want to take. Typically, I take iridium and antimatter with me, so that I can adjust the range of my guns, depending on when I warp in and where the targets are. What are the fundamentals of armor tanking? Well, minimize damage taken, having good resistances, make sure that you can maintain your cap. Obviously, EFT helps us understand setups and whether we can maintain our cap. If you switch everything on and your cap runs out very quickly, then obviously before long you're going to have very little in the way of resistances and you're going to be floating around in your pod. Is it true that level 5 can have newts? Some level 4s have energy weapons. Newts, NOS, all sorts of EWAR. So you can encounter EW in level 4, and I think some level 3 missions as well, of different kinds. From cruiser upwards, obviously you need, when armor tanking, to understand resistances and damage to be successful in PvE. Don't forget that more tank, however, means less damage dealt. less Iskanawa. The faster you can kill your enemies, the less tank you need. This is the classic gank versus tank discussion. If I set my tank up to the very, very best I can every time, then I can do less damage. So those easier missions will take me longer than they need to. This is why we use the mission guide. Resistance is much more energy efficient than repping, so it's generally better to get less damage to rep than to rep it at a higher rate. And by that I'm talking about the dual LAR approach. Don't always fit a dual LAR, dual repper tank to your ship unless you really know you need it, because again, what you're doing is you're nerfing your outgoing DPS and obviously risking cap stability as well. I no longer ever fit dual LAR to my battleship. I would rather warp out once in a blue moon than carry that around, take up all the cap, have to change the rigs on my ship and do less damage. That's my personal philosophy on it. There are passive modules for armor tanking. There is no passive armor tank. Passive modules have the advantage of not using cap and you don't need to switch them on, but they will give you lower overall resistances than active armor tanks. And unless you've got good armor compensation skills, a lot lower resistances. So sometimes an adaptive fitting can be useful. Once you've fitted your active tank and you've got a spare low slot, you can either fit a damage mod or a tanking mod. You might want to fit an EANM one, but I would not recommend stacking EANMs unless you've got fantastic armor compensation skills, because they will be less effective than an active tank and an active tanking modules. And I'm happy to answer questions about that at the end if people want to ask about it. I used to try and explain to people how to work out damage resistances, but it used to give me brain ache trying to explain to people. Can I please point you towards the class notes that are available on the server and the link that I provided in the class invitation? That gives you a lot of extra information about all the ship types and also about tanking modules, and there are also some class notes from my armor tanking class there that you might find interesting, or you might not. If you're a spreadsheet monkey like me, then you might find it whiles away a pleasant Sunday afternoon. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about armor tanking. I think I've done enough on that. Watch out for using EFT, by the way. Go on, then.
What I'm legend back. Is this? I just clocked in.
Okay, we're in the Galente PvE class here, and questions time is at the end, so if you could keep yourself on mute for the time being, it'd be appreciated.
No problem, sorry.
Okay, so in the armor tanking class, we talk a lot more about resistance calculations, different tanking setups, modules to use, how to calculate DPS that you can tank, how to calculate your resistances, and understanding stacking and armor tanking stacking. But a couple of hints, I suppose, from me on armor tanking really here are: get a Tech 2 tank. It's about 40 to 60% more effective than the Tech 1 equivalent. And to do that, you need to train repair systems, hull upgrades, and mechanic to level 5, and that is it. You can then fit Tech 2 modules. Generally speaking, fit a damage control. And in PvE, we are going to be active tanking, so fit active modules because they have the highest resistance bonuses. If someone could post an example of a link to an active hardener in the classroom chat, that would be appreciated. I'm going to do a little bit on skills, and then we're going to have some questions. So, remember, key Galente skills. Well, armor tanking first. Yeah, thanks very much, Fading Star. That's spot on. Those are our 55%, and Alandric seems to like faction stuff. Okay, well, if you've got the money and you want to fit a full faction tank can be 100% better than a Tech 2 tank. The only problem is you're going to spend billions on fitting it, and I would argue in PvE it's over the top. I would argue that in the most cases, except for the people who've got lots and lots and lots of ISK, faction equipment in PvE is probably a little over the top. But we can have that debate at the end. Yes, that's right. Shiny stuff, you know, you'll start getting pirates following you around because they know that if they can find a way of ganking you, then there's money in the bank. Just draw attention to yourself. Not to say it isn't nice to have. Okay, armor tanking skills. Repair systems, hull upgrades, and mechanic. Each one of those giving you a 5% bonus to repair system duration. It shortens your repair cycle, repair systems, so you get more repairs per hour, per second. Hull upgrades gives you more armor hit points, and mechanic gives you more structure hit points. Getting all those to level 5, as I've mentioned, will enable you to fit that Tech 2 tank that you should be fitting to your battlecruiser and your battleship. Drones, well, get 5 drones, so you need drones 5. Combat drone operation is your damage adjustment for light and medium drones, and every level you train you get 5% more bonus to drone damage. Drone interfacing, fantastic skill, 20% damage adjustment to drones, and that also works for mining, by the way. Drone interfacing, so two really key drone skills there: combat drone operation, drone interfacing. Scout drone operation gives you more control range for your drones, 5,000 meters of skill level. Heavy drone operation, basically you need for your heavy drone damage and operating heavy drones. Sentry drone operation, if you're running level 4s and you're flying a Domi like me, sentry drones are a revelation when you get them, and the Tech 2 ones in particular are fantastic. The reason they're fantastic is there is no flight time. One of the frustrations with heavy drones is they do a lot of damage, but they take ages to get anywhere. Sentries, you just sit in one place, engage your tank, deploy your sentries, and bang, you're just shooting stuff. Fantastic. Gunnery. Well, there are a lot of gunnery skills, actually. And I'm not going to go through them all. I'm going to pick up some key ones. Well, obviously, there's the gunnery skill itself. Weapon upgrades will help you with your CPU requirements, so get 5% reduction per skill level. Advanced weapon upgrades, even better. Reduces power grid of turrets by 2%. And some of the fits that you'll see on Scrap Heap or on the forums, and you think, well, I can't get all those guns on my battleship, on my ship, probably because this guy's trained advanced weapon upgrades, and it's a good one to get to level 4 or level 5 just to maximise your damage to get all those turrets on. Controlled bursts, obviously the relevant turret skills, small, medium and large. Weapon upgrades, rapid firing, motion prediction, it goes on. I didn't mention under armour tanking, by the way, the armour compensation skills. There are 4, one for each damage type, and if you want to use passive modules, so for example any energized adaptive nanomembranes, any of the passive hardeners, or any of the resistance modules like the adaptive nanoplating, which I think adaptive nanomembrane, sorry, which someone linked earlier, you need to be training those skills. But unfortunately, there are 4 of them, and obviously you need to get them all up to a decent level to improve the resistance bonus from passive modules. It's complicated, this game, isn't it? I'll tell you. Energy grid and cap skills. Okay, so this is not Galente specific, but there's no point in having shiny T2 tank and loads of gizmos stuck to your ship. You switch it all on, your cap disappears, everything switches off, and you get popped. So engineering, 5% bonus to ship's power grid output per skill level. Energy management, 5% bonus to cap capacity per skill level. And energy systems operation, 5% reduction in capacitor recharge time per skill level. If you're wondering whether, if you didn't manage to take any of that in, just look at the class notes. It's all in there. Give you an idea. Final thing from me, really. 2 things, actually. That's really all I'm going to cover in this class. I don't know whether it was kind of what you were expecting, but that's kind of where we are. First thing is, when you go out PVEing in your ship, and it's a Tech 1 ship, whether it's a frigate or a battleship, insure it. That's one tip. Second thing is, I'd just like to draw attention to those people who are running missions in the uni, just to the EU mission channel and thing that's been set up by Smurf Prime, the mission sharing channel that we've got, where we share mission bonuses and tactics, and indeed sometimes fleet up and run missions together. Well worth reading the posting about that and joining the EU missions channel. And that's really the end of the formal part of the class. Fading, would you like to add something?
I got a couple of little things.
Sure. Well, let's go into the Q&A part of the class, and you guys fire away. People can ask questions either in the chat channel or on TeamSpeak, so let's open it up and have a big debate about stuff, and pick me up on anything that you disagree with or you found factually incorrect. Okay?
Well, First of all, the Thorax is a penis, you're right. Secondly, the Megatron is the most pretty shipping in Galanti. That's the two corrections I'll make, and that's non-negotiable. But no, just a sort of note about the battleships, really. In our corp, what we'll often do is allow people to what we call imp skill into a battleship to get them into the level 4 missions, but not as the primary tank. So we're running a level 4 mission with multiple people, and we've got our primary tank, and we let guys skill into the battleship and the guns first, and then while they're using it in the missions to make the big cash, you know, and the good set points and the standings, they're then working on their tank skills as they go through the missions with us to the point where they can do them on their own. You know, we do sort of a loan or a rental system where we'll give them a battleship so they can get in the level 4 missions to start paying it off. And that works really well, providing, you know, on the strict condition that if you're going to fly anywhere else, it's not until you've got your armor skills done. But, yeah, it saves a lot of time and, you know, gets them earning the big bucks quickly in high sec.
Okay, good point. Just to identify a couple of things on that. So one is the university doesn't have a battleship loan program. However, if you want to join teams running level 4s for those kind of benefits, those kinds of benefits, the EU Missions Channel is a very good way of doing that. And many experienced level 4 mission runners in the university will put post invitations in Corp or Alliance, and in general what they are doing is they are saying that they will tank the mission, so you don't have to have that Tech 2 tank. In fact, you don't even have to have a battleship or a battlecruiser. You can come along in virtually anything, join an experienced mission runner and get the benefits. So that's kind of one from the unit point of view.
Well, I'd like to say that's a really good point, because last night I did take part in a T4, level 4, whatever you want to call it, mission with a load of cruisers and battleships. And I'm currently just running a frigate at the moment. I'm actually MR, but I just wanted to see what the lessons were like. I'm just running a frigate, a light frigate. And I found it very helpful, like finding out what PvE combat is really like and fleet combat is really like. And it's sort of making me want to now go for a carrier sort of idea. But basically I made a lot of money for the first mission.
Yeah, if you do a level 4 mission with 4 people, with salvage, you'll probably pull in anywhere between 8 to 15 million per mission. A good team can do that in half an hour to an hour. And, you know, that's some serious cash right there. And if you look, the reason that we put them into battleships is so that they're, you know, I mean, we have frigates that we purposefully bring in. I mean, I can fly a Megatron, but sometimes I'll come in a frigate or a cruiser, because you've got the little ships, these big, huge ships with these huge guns can't hit frigates for candy. And you know, sometimes having you guys there is actually helpful to the mission as well. It can speed things up. Yeah. And also you get to learn a lot too. It's don't be afraid to go to the guys, the big guys in the corp, and go, hey, you know, I'm in a cruiser, or hey, I'm in a frigate. They'll find a use for you. I'm sure. And you get rich. Woo.
Well, the EU Missions Channel is a great place to do that, and I'm certainly running level 4 missions in there very often, and I'm always interested in taking people along, and I do it in Osman generally or around Siki. So there are a lot of other people doing that as well. I suspect that Fading Star may be one. So, you know, we can help you out if you're interested in doing that. Join the EU Missions Channel and get stuck in there. It's a great way of learning, and you don't have to tank it. But if you are soloing level 4 missions, or you're trying to solo them, as I think Puppy UK has already said, you should really be fitting a T2 tank to your ship, or you are putting it at risk.
Yeah, since Fading Star is very, very, very lazy salvager, I salvage only large wrecks, and just all the rest I leave be, so I always welcome newer players who would like to salvage and help me in mission, I don't mind.
And I salvage nothing, so you can trail along behind me and take it all.
Okay, has anybody got any questions about the class content or any particular questions of their own about how things are working out for them PvE-wise in Galente ships?
I have a question for you, Chuck. How much DPS does the Tech 2 sentries do? If you would just compare it to Tech 1 sentries.
Do you know what? I'd have to look that up. I don't know the answer to that question off the top of my head, but I can do that, so hang on.
I got a quick one for you, while it's more of a discussion than a question, I guess, but regarding active tanks, passive tanks in mission, and whether, obviously, from whether you agree, I mean, this is sort of a bit of a null, this is a system that I sort of use, but I don't know whether you'd agree with it or not, that, you know, it's more important to have a stable repper than if you've got, hard to explain, according to Eve fitting and, well, some little testing from me, you're better to have if you have a passive tank and a stable shield and a stable repairer, you'll end up, compare that to a active tank and an unstable repper. Would you consider it easier and safer to go with the constant repper that you can just keep on all the time, rather than having to toggle the repper on and off with the active, even though you get higher resistances? If that makes any sense. Whoa.
Yeah, it does make sense. I guess it kind of feeds into a discussion about managing aggro in missions. In a battlecruiser or a battleship, I would expect people in PvE to be going for a cap-stable tank. So even a dual large armor repper or a dual medium armor repper tank on a battleship, say, or a battlecruiser, can be cap-stable with the right rigs. And as a sustainable PvE tank, that would be where I would go. In terms of passive modules, the problem with them is that unless you've trained all of the armor compensation skills to level 4 or level 5, firstly, your resistances are correspondingly lower, so you're taking more damage. And secondly, obviously, you're not getting the benefit of what is a very small amount of cap use. I mean, active hardeners aren't particularly demanding in terms of cap use. So ultimately you're probably not going to be making that much difference by swapping it out to passive, although obviously I haven't looked at it in EFT. The key thing for me is in battlecruisers and battleships, you can make a dual repper system be entirely cap stable if you want to, just by using rigs.
Yeah, I had I had 3 and 4 cap skills, or it might have been 4 and 4 cap skills, and it was just the active modules were just enough to tipple me under that 31% bite mark, just. And I would keep, the reason I did it was I'd keep not paying attention to my cap, and then all of a sudden I'd be like, oh, what's going on with my armor? And that's because my rep has turned off.
Right. Well, I would say, you know, we in this class should be aiming for a cap stable tank because of that reason. Because actively managing your tank in mission rooms is, you're exposed to risk there. But also, one thing that you could consider in that situation, something that I've done in the past, is just switch your guns off for a while, or take less offensive capability, particularly if you're flying a drone boat. Rely more on your drones, fit fewer guns, and get cap stability that way, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anything, it's something that, you know, I thought maybe would bode well to discuss. I think more than I'm sort of through it now, but yeah, at the time that was a real ponderation to me. But also with full level 5 resists, you're only losing a couple of percent of the active as well. And then you can use it for PvP2.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. If you can get your armor compensation skills to level 5 across the board, then the stacked resistances of passive AENMs, for example, will actually be as effective as a Takuan active tank. So that's pretty good. And obviously you've got no energy weapon vulnerability in PvP, which is excellent. The thing is, though, that most people in the university are not going to be anywhere near getting that level of skills trained. But obviously, ultimately, there is a real benefit in terms of your PvP tanking ability. But still, Tech 2 active hardeners will still provide you with a far superior resistance and greater tanking ability than even stacked passive fittings to maximum skills.
Do you know what the differences are, out of interest? I believe it was sort of 5 to 15%. It was my belief, depending on spots. Does that sound about right to you?
Well, a full Tech 2 battleship 7-slot tank is about, you know, for an Omni tank is about, from memory, I think about 600 DPS tank. A similar Tech 1 tank is about 280, from memory. So I think you're probably... You know, you probably the trouble with percentages is that resistance percentages, obviously, even a small percentage, the difference between 80% resist and 90% resist is you're taking the double amount of damage, obviously. So it's quite a complex calculation, but difficult to do in your head. But it is a really significant difference in terms of overall DPS if you're going for the Omni tank. But obviously in PvP we tend to do that, A, because we're not so concerned about our final resistance because we're omni-tanking anyway, and B, because a PvP strategy is generally a buffer tank, isn't it? So you want resistances, but you also want survivability, whereas in active PvP tanking, you're not so much interested in how much buffer you've got, you're interested in whether you can sustain it over a long period. So cap stability is more of an issue, if you like. We talk about this in detail in the armor tanking class, actually, so come along and join in the debate.
Yeah, of course. We were getting a little sidetracked. The other thing is maybe cap transfer or NOS